God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings of this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I have been on record for a while, talking about the fact that Pam Bondi is a liability. And I don't want to bear false witness. I really try to be careful about that. But from the very beginning, I've been against her being attorney general because of what she is. She is an attention seeker. She wants to be on TV. She should go be on TV. I'm sure Fox News will hire her today. First as a contributor and eventually maybe as a host. Big money in that. That would be great for her. I said it first because she had, when she's being considered to be the attorney general, she wanted to bring along a guy who was a sheriff who was happily arresting people or threatening to arrest them for not wearing woke masks and not sticking needles in their arms with gene sequencing concoctions in them, a COVID fanatic, to go and run the Drug Enforcement Agency. She'd recommended him. That said a lot to me about who Pam Bondi is. And I don't want to make this a trash Pam segment. She should be fired. President Trump should fire her yesterday. He won't. Because she delivers his sermons. Sorry to say. I will continue to support President Trump in most of his policies. Right now, he is on the way to losing the midterms in an extraordinary fashion. Pam Bondi gave the Democrats everything they'll need to wrap this up. Unless there's some radical changes. I heard Mike Johnson saying that he thinks you're going to win the midterms. Mike Johnson also of the opinion that the Epstein file should remain sealed, secret, the stuff that's not been released. The fact that congresswomen like Nancy Mace are being allowed to go take a look at this stuff in a skiff behind closed doors where they can't take pictures, and then Nancy Mace came out and said that they're tracking her, that they're tracking exactly what congresspeople look at. And then tracking them afterwards. Everybody knows this was an intel op. Everybody. I mean, it's obvious. We now have confirmation that Jeff Epstein had two passports. Those are hard to come by, unless you're an intelligence op or operative. So we know that now that we're being told that this could bring the country down. Pam Bondi basically said that. If it released everything, it could bring the country down. I hate to go back to my favorite moment from The Hunger Games, which I think is one of the most prescient of all political commentaries written in the past probably 50 years, but I'll do it. If you've not seen the movie, it's a pretty violent film, and it involves young people who are forced to participate in just that, just Hunger Games, war games, and they kill themselves for the entertainment of the people who are clearly Washington, D.C., in this series of books, the capital of the United States has been moved to a mountainous area of Colorado to be more easily defended against the hordes in the districts. So in this game, two people at the end of this are pretending to be in love. One of them really is in love. And one of them is to kill the other. That's the way the game's supposed to go. For the entertainment of the capital, or the woman from the district, Katniss Everdeen, is to kill the boy from the same district. She won't. Instead, they go the Shakespeare route. There's some poison berries they've been offered. So Katniss says, "Look, we'll take both of us out." So he, she, and PETA is the boy's name, are going to take the berries. Both of them die. No one wins the Hunger Games. Therefore, there's no hope. One of the things that the party wants to do is to deliver hope to the districts. "Oh, look, a girl from your district won the Hunger Games." So the game makers have to stop the game. Both of them are declared winner. That's never happened before. Fast forward to the next film, and the president of America, the dictator. He's played so well by Donald Sutherland, the late Donald Sutherland. He surprises Katniss in the home she's been given, a huge house, as one of the winners of the Hunger Games, and he delivers this incredible line to her. He says, "That was a clever thing you did with the berries, Miss Everdeen. Very clever indeed. Very clever." And she said to him, he said, "And very risky, very dangerous what you did. It could bring the whole system down." And Katniss says, "It must be a really fragile system. It can be brought down with just a few berries." And President Snow laughs and says, "Oh, indeed it is, Miss Everdeen, but not in the way you think. Tell me," he says, "you've been in the Hunger Games. Would you like to be in a real war?" So the fragile system, Pam Bondi's effectively said, this entire system could be brought down if people were allowed to see the full scope of the Epstein files. Or perhaps then the nation should be brought down. If it's that fragile, perhaps it should be brought down. Now, I'm not hoping for that. I think we can sustain a lot more than the elites think we can. They think us bumpkins would just fall over dead if we find out that, oh, people in Washington, D.C. are part of some weird satanic cult. Oh, shocked I am. Color me shocked. But Pam Bondi gave them everything they need to win the midterms. Pam Bondi did not have answers about Jeffrey Epstein.
The Dow right now is over. The Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing. You're a great stock trader, as I hear, Raskin. The Dow is over 50,000 right now. The S&P at almost 7,000. And the NASDAQ smashing records. Americans' 401ks and retirement savings are booming. That's what we should be talking about. We should be talking about making Americans safe. We should be talking about, what does a Dow have to do with anything? That's what they just asked. Are you kidding?
Mr. Jordan, Mr. Jordan.
Committee.
Jimmy Raskin's laughing, Pam, because you're a clown. Jimmy Raskin's laughing because you just gave him everything he wants. Jimmy Raskin is an election denier who says that denying elections is a grievous sin. Jamie Raskin is a man who demands ID to get into the Democrat National Committee and says demanding ID to vote is a racist endeavor. Jamie Raskin is also a clown, and you just joined right up with the clowns, Pam. We're talking here about the mechanical rape, trafficking, and far worse of girls, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows what pizza means. No one is confused. No one is confused, Pam. Could bring the whole nation down. Perhaps it should be brought down. Oh, and incidentally, did the people hiding in the files? I'm here to tell you, everything whispered in the dark will one day be shouted from the rooftops. You're hiding from maybe yourselves. Maybe we don't know your names. God does. And your motives. And your actions. And you still have a chance to repent, but you won't always. Pam Bondi decided it was a good time to bring up anti-Semitic culture in response to more Epstein questions.
About Epstein, not once when he was...
Weak sauce.
And also, I want the record to reflect that, you know, with this anti-Semitic culture right now, she voted against a resolution condemning...
Oh,
he's Jewish. Oh, I just want to be clear.
Do you want to go there, Attorney General? Are you serious?
To the gentleman
talking
from
about
South
anti-Semitism
Carolina.
To a woman who they, lost her grandfather
I,
in the
I
Holocaust?
My time.
Really?
I reclaim my time.
Really?
Pam Bondi gave them everything they need. There's nothing anti-Semitic about saying that Jeffrey Epstein may have been an operative of the government of Israel because he was an operative of ours, clearly an operative of ours. They could bring the entire nation down if all this got out. That's not an intel operative with his two passports with the magical money. He's an adjunct junior college professor teaching economics and not doing it that well. And all of a sudden, he's fantastically wealthy, but no one in Wall Street knew him. Man, that is a group. Big time Wall Street traders, you know, market makers. That is a group so exclusive you have to be a member to join. Think about that phrase. And suddenly he's there? It's not anti-Semitic to ask questions. Even about Howard Lutnick. Why is he still hanging out with the president? Why is he still advising President Trump? This man who lied to a huge degree about his involvement with Epstein, why is he still advising the president? Why did he laugh and giggle on video when President Trump said it's only fake news that cares about the Epstein stuff and there's Howard Lutnick? He's so clever. I will continue to support the president's policies I can support. I am fatigued. Remember, and the deep state? President Trump appears to have been one of the earliest whistleblowers about Jeff Epstein. For 20 years, it looks very much like a guy named Donald John Trump was pushing the investigation. You got to get it to Ghislaine Maxwell. You got to go figure her out. She's the source of a lot of the evil. She's running this stuff. Thank goodness you're finally starting to look into this. The president said to a sheriff, everybody knows he's doing these things. He gets a slap on the wrist. Alex Acosta gave him a slap on the wrist. Should have been 7 charges of indecent sex with girls, illegal sex with girls, trafficking. Should have been 7 of those and more counts. He got 1. And then President Trump hired Alex Acosta to help run this economy. I'm fatigued. I have Trump fatigue. I'll continue to defend the policies that are defensible. Right now, Pam Bondi should have been fired 2 minutes ago. Now 3. This will continue to drag the Trump White House down. They've lost the messaging war. That is over. Pam Bondi lost the morality war. There were some women in that group who put out an ad during the Super Bowl funded by the Leftist Tides Foundation. I'm very suspect of the timing. The women could, in fact, give the names of their alleged abusers to Thomas Massey and some of the others who are willing to name those names. Elon Musk has said that he'll pay for any lawsuits they face if they come out and name the names. So they could do that. One of the women was 21, apparently, when she met Jeff Epstein. And apparently, voluntarily carried on a sexual relationship with him and, I'm to understand, Ghislaine Maxwell for a number of years. She was 21. Now, that's basically a child. It's not legally a child. She made that decision. Oh, by the way, she's also a Democrat operative. Does that mean she wasn't abused? Maybe she was. If so, there should be justice. Pam Bondi could have said to those women who were behind her in a photo op, it's a takedown. I get it. It's the dance. It's the drama of D.C. It's the sick drama of the Capitol. She could have said to the real victims, I'm sorry, the system failed you. But Pam can't, because Pam is the system. Pam Bondi was simply upset she was being asked to do her job.
The July 2025 memo from your Department of Justice stated, quote, we did not uncover evidence that could predicate an investigation against uncharged third parties. These two photos, please put the photos back up. These two photos staring you in the face are evidence of a crime and more than enough evidence to predicate an investigation against former Prince Andrew. So I ask you, Attorney General Pam Bondi, why did you shut down this investigation last July and why have you not prosecuted former Prince Andrew?
I don't believe you asked Merrick Garland these questions when he was Attorney General and set before.
I agree with you.
You twice.
I'm reclaiming my time. I agree with you. I agree with you. During the Biden administration, I called for people looking at Epstein files. Merrick Garland dropped the ball, as did Attorney General Bill Barr, as did Alex Acosta, a whole string of failures. But you are in charge. You have the power to change things, to hold these men accountable, and you're doing the opposite. You're protecting them.
She is. She should have been fired yesterday. Well, at least she's preventing girls from being sexually assaulted digitally during wrestling matches in Washington State. Remember, it's illegal for boys to compete against girls' sports if they take federal funding. Oh, wait, she's not. I will know President Trump is a serious man again when Pam Bondi's fired. We'll come back on The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. There is really something funny when a meme can explain all of the great acting that goes on and the drama of Washington, D.C., that stage play they put on for our entertainment. So many of them are just actors. This is great. Representative Michael McLeod, America First representative for the people of the 27th Congressional District of Texas, serving on the House Appropriations, GOP, GOP Oversight, DOGE Committee. He just put up a really cool meme. He said, for reference, this is how we vote in the U.S. House. And he has a picture of this. I actually didn't know this. One, insert photo ID. And sure enough, there's a slot. You put your photo ID in there. Two, press button. Yay, nay, present, or open. He wrote this. For reference, this is how we vote in the House. Insert our ID, press a button. Notable that 213 Democrats just used their congressional photo ID to vote no on a voter ID bill. Everybody knows, all people know, that the decision to not have voter ID is a decision to have vote fraud. Everybody knows it. Am I really bearing false witness if I say that? I should think about that and pray about that. Yeah, there's probably some people who have been ideologically beaten down to the point that they mouth the words, it's racist. But four or five Socratic questions disabuse them of that. Socratic questions, for instance, like, will you back a bill to wipe out the ID requirements to have a bank account, to get on a plane, to enter the DNC? It's a fun game. Most people, after a while, would figure out, oh, wait, yeah, that's probably not a good excuse. When a meme can explain things, as Representative Michael Cloud just did here, when a meme can explain things this way, it means that either the thing is very, very simple or the meme is very, very clever. This is not a clever meme. It's a photo and a couple of arrows photoshopped onto it. It's not clever. The situation is clear. There's a game some people play online where they put up memes that pretends to explain why President Trump is either the Antichrist or adjacent to the Antichrist. They like to compare Jesus to Trump. So this is one of the latest and most popular of those memes. This woman, Sahara Stevens, writes, "You can't be a good Christian and still support Trump," and then shared this meme, Jesus versus Trump. On the left, it says Jesus taught. On the right, it says Trump does. Here are the items. Jesus taught, welcome strangers. Trump, build a wall, Muslim ban. Jesus taught, heal the sick. Trump, millions lose health care. Jesus taught, feed the hungry. Trump, cut, snap, school lunch. Jesus taught, clothe the poor. Trump does, attack the poor. Jesus said, do not lie. Trump, compulsive liar. Jesus said, do not covet. Trump, cheat on all three wives. Jesus taught love and inclusion. Trump, hate and division. Trump does the opposite of Jesus, says the meme. Any quote, it says, religious leader who advocates for Trump is preaching politics and not religion and should lose their tax-exempt status. Wow. Powerhouse. Let's go through this together. The meme fails on a meta basis, because it contends that Jesus Christ petitioned government to do things. There is not an instance in his entire ministry where Jesus ever went to the government and said, you should do this. In fact, when Jesus had the opportunity to petition government to let him go, when Pontius Pilate said, don't you know that I have the power over you of life and death? Jesus said, you have no power over me but that which my Father grants. Therefore, the people who delivered me to you are guilty of the greater sin. He could have petitioned the government head for his region, one step down from Caesar himself, and he didn't. The Apostle Paul, all he needed to do was agree with Nero that Nero was also the son of God and in that way save his life, and he wouldn't do that. So the meme fails on a meta basis. Jesus never appealed to government to do anything. He never advocated setting up a government program. He never questioned the government program. Jesus questioned the Pharisees and he called them out for what they'd become. They weren't government, they were adjacent to it, but he didn't even question their governance. He didn't say, hey, it's not fair that you have to be married and rich to be a Pharisee. He said, you're false teachers. You're abusing my father's house. So the meme fails at the forefront. Side by side, the meme says, Jesus taught welcome strangers, Trump, build the wall, Muslim ban. Did Jesus teach welcome strangers? Welcome sojourners? Travelers. Why? Because we're all sojourners here. Where? On earth. We're visitors. He's speaking to Christians, his followers. We ourselves are sojourners, so be kind to sojourners by letting them steal from you. No, it's still you shall not steal. The act of entering the country illegally is theft. It's lying. It comes from the sin of coveting. When you follow it up by accepting tax dollars for being here illegally, we are being stolen from. You are receiving stolen goods. If you get a false Social Security number to work, you've stolen that. If you take that money and you send it home to your country, you're aiding in thieving from us and giving to your country. The Muslim ban, where is that? I don't see that. I see Dearborn, Michigan in the United States is now a Muslim city, full stop. Minneapolis, Minnesota is effectively a Muslim city, which is now aiding in stealing seats in Congress to the Electoral College. You shall not steal. This meme fails on every front. This anti-Trump, Jesus versus Trump meme says that Jesus taught heal the sick. President Trump, millions lose health care. Let's check that again. Jesus did not say set up government programs to heal the sick. Jesus himself healed the sick. His apostles were given the powers to heal the sick and sometimes to raise the dead. They did not build government programs or taxes. They built the first hospitals. They absolutely did that. When President Trump kicked illegal immigrants off of Medicare rolls and Obamacare rolls, or is trying to do that, that's not stripping healthcare away from people. It's saying you no longer get to steal access to United States doctors. You will still get treatment if you show up in an emergency room. That's the way our system works. You show up in an emergency room, doesn't matter what they have to do. You get treated and the bill's passed on to us. So the meme falls apart there. The meme says, Jesus taught feed the hungry. President Trump cut SNAP and school lunches. Again, Jesus did not say set up a government program to feed the hungry. He himself did it miraculously. He himself modeled it. Sure, do it of your own goods, with your own money. After all, it's not even yours. God gave it to you to steward. In the case of SNAP, that was being stolen from in huge amounts of money. Maybe $9 billion from one state of theft. Similarly, in the school lunch programs, when illegal immigrants are entering into our school system and getting sometimes three meals a day, even throughout the summer, stealing. Secondly, that program is rife with fraud. So downsizing it is not stealing it. Taking it without permission is stealing it. It fails on that front. This jump, Trump versus Jesus meme. Do not lie. And they say that Trump is a compulsive liar. Well, but they're lying. The entire meme is a lie. Jesus never petitioned government for a thing. So while they point the finger at Trump for being a compulsive liar, they're ignoring the logs in their own eyes, and I'm probably ignoring many logs in mine. Now, this is the most clever of their lies. They say, Jesus taught do not covet. Trump does, cheats on all three wives. Yeah, you're not to covet, for sure. And they just went through a bunch of things where they defend coveting. People who want to be citizens of the United States and aren't, they covet that, therefore they steal it. People who do not want to have to pay for their own food, They want the government to cover it. Or in the case of the Somalia fraud, they want to make money at it. They covet, they steal. President Trump, if he in fact cheated on all three wives, as they contend, was the real sin the coveting? Or is it the adultery? They're both sins. But why aren't they calling out the adultery? You know why, right? Because then they have to admit there's such a thing as a sexual sin. They have to then admit that fornication is a sin, and by extension of that, same-sex activity, which is specifically mentioned as a sin. Well, they can't do that, so they have to be clever and try to lie through that. And then the last one is perhaps the most interesting. Jesus taught love and exclusion. Trump taught hate and division, or Trump does hate and division. Okay, let's say that you observe President Trump to be a hateful man. Fair enough. That's what you see. That's what you see. Politics have become divisive in America because it's no longer politics. It's about life and morality. It's right into who you are and what you get to say. It allows boys to rape girls on a wrestling mat when they're pretending to be girls, the boys are. It allows that. That's not politics. So yes, it's divisive. Fair enough. But Jesus taught love and inclusion? He did? Jesus modeled love? His apostles taught what biblical love is and isn't. It isn't sex. It isn't sleeping around. Not all love is the same. There's the love God has for us, which is sometimes expressed as loving kindness or chesed, an unfailing, unfailable form of love, difficult for us to have. There's agape, love of a friend. There is the romantic love. There's the love of a brother. But we're taught on the sexual left that all love is love. That same-sex attracted activity is love. It's an action. It feels good to the flesh. It's not love, nor is sex love. Jesus modeled how to love. To come under and lift up. A sacrificial love. He modeled that. To be first in the kingdom of heaven, you must be last. First will be last, last will be first. He modeled that. He was loving. Inclusive? No, he wasn't. He was welcoming. He still is welcoming. The free gift of redemption is available to everybody if they follow the rules. It's exclusionary. It's welcoming and exclusionary. Try this. Jesus, I want to be in your family, but I just can't follow your commands. Sorry. Go and obey, go teach them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all I've commanded. That's what Jesus taught. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. But I don't like your commands. There's no command that says you have to like them. You need to show your love for me. How do I do that? By obeying all I command. Love your neighbor as yourself. First, love the Lord your God with your entire heart, mind, soul, and strength. Obey my commandments. Follow my teachings. By this, I will know you love me. That's exclusionary. He's welcoming. Well, but Lord, I'm a horrible sinner. I've committed horrible things. I've done horrible things in my life. I was a tax collector, a traitor to my own people. Come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Leave your sin behind. Repent. Accept me as your Lord and Savior. I'll do the repenting part, but you're not my Savior. Then you can have no part of me. He's welcoming and he's exclusionary. There are people who continue in behaviors and they will have no part of the kingdom of heaven. People who continue to lie and continually steal. People who continue in sexual immorality, including fornication, adultery, same-sex activity, will have no place in the kingdom of heaven. If they stop that and repent, they have sorrow. they turn exactly the other direction. I no longer do these things. I will no longer be transformed by the things of this world, but allow myself to be transformed by the love of God. If they accept Jesus Christ in their mind as Lord and Savior and then confess Him with their mouths, accept Him as Savior and act that way, they'll be welcomed, included, because they made it past the process of exclusion. Now, Jesus excludes no one. He's welcoming. The process is exclusive. It's harder for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to get through the eye of the needle. It's hard because it's hard to admit your riches are trash, to leave them behind. Jesus was so exclusive, is so exclusive, and this should chill all of us, that the end times people will go to Jesus and they will say, Lord, 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 didn't we perform many miracles in your name and cast out demons in your name? And the Lord Jesus will look at them and say, I never knew you. Go away from me, evildoers. That's not inclusion, it's exclusion. Jesus is welcoming. He lays out the path. The path is long and narrow, but it's well lit because Christ Himself is light. God is light. In Him there's no darkness at all. He's welcoming. He welcomes you into His process of exclusion so that you can be included. This is a very popular Jesus versus Trump meme. It fails on all fronts, the biggest one being that Jesus ever wanted government to do anything other than be constituted and provide some leadership. The moral stuff, the feeding of the poor, We don't get out of that. That's on us. We'll come back on the Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to this episode. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to a personal note in the Tower of Babbling and a cleanup item, I'm sure. Speaking of the cleanup item, oh gosh, this is kind of a long set of cleanup items. This is very important, though. Thousands of women are suing the criminal cartel nicknamed Pfizer over their Depo-Provera birth control shot.
Depo-Provera is a progestin shot injected every 3 months. One in four women in the United States use it, with black women taking the shot at nearly double the national rate. Philip took it for nearly 30 years. Multiple studies have found a potential link between Depo and meningioma, including one that found women who took the drug for more than a year had five times the risk of developing the tumor. Philip is now one of more than 1,000 women suing Pfizer, the maker of Depo-Provera, alleging the company chose to ignore relevant safety concerns and deliberately not study the long-term safety of Depo.
You should always assume anything to do with Pfizer contains fraud, because fraud is a business model, because they paid the biggest criminal and civil fines in the history of all civil and criminal fines with companies, and they kept going. That's quite a lesson. We can continue to kill people with our shots and get sued and still continue to make money. And right now, they're kind of in duck and cover mode a little bit because RFK Jr. is there trying to do what he can. The deep state is preventing him from making the most important and fundamental changes, but he's trying. I pray for him. Just always assume that about Pfizer. Oh, incidentally, related cleanup item. A CDC study finds that COVID shots increase the risk of a leading cause of maternal and fetal death by 24%. Hypertensive disorders of pregnancy are major drivers of preterm birth, emergency delivery, seizure, stroke, organ injury, long-term cardiovascular disease, and maternal and fetal death. This comes from the CDC's own numbers. And the comparison between vaccinated and unvaccinated women is impressive and scary. The absolute difference observed was 3 percentage points. That means roughly one additional case of hypertensive pregnancy complications for every 33 vaccinated pregnancies. And let's remember, these are not vaccines. These are COVID shots. They're gene sequencing devices. So if even 40 to 60 million pregnant women worldwide received a COVID-19 shot during the global rollout period, A 3% absolute increase would translate to an estimated 1.2 to 1.8 million additional cases of hypertensive pregnancy complications, which can lead to death and do lead to death and material harm to the fetus, those that live and become babies, and that harm continues. Oh, last item in the cleanup item, second to last, forgive me. This woman, Kayla Pollock, was paralyzed after the COVID shot, and her government of Canada has a solution. They want to euthanize her.
Is this some sort of like eugenics thing, or is this just a way, basically a non-contributing member of society? So people have testified under oath that this has happened to them, and they've shown proof. And I've got proof. Like, this is not just people saying it. Like, there's evidence, and unfortunately it's not mainstream media, but now all of a sudden you're seeing more mainstream in Canada, where you'll get bigger news outlets saying there was somebody who in Ontario who had whatever this is, I don't know, you're the doctor, you tell me, post-COVID-19 vaccination syndrome. I don't know what that is. And they were given medical assistance in dying.
So that's a solution. Hey, the shot's paralyzed you. How about if we kill you next? Last item in this cleanup portion of the show, which became longer than it normally would be. This is important to understand in context. This woman's name is Catherine Edwards. This comes from August of 2020. Does that date sound familiar? Yeah, that's during the COVID lockdowns and the masking and that entire PSYOP. Aaron Seary, a lawyer who's done a lot to fight pharma companies for killing people with vaccines and harming them with things like autism, he is deposing her. She appears to be at home. She's on the laptop because of the stupid, silly, medically useless lockdowns. And she's being deposed. He's asked her a series of questions about clinical trials and how they work, how many people you need in a clinical trial, what you need to go through to make sure it's a solid clinical trial. And now he's begun questioning her about autism and ruling out autism. And this is the last bit of a rather long clip, but it's important to hear. So listen to these words from Dr. Catherine Edwards.
According to your profile, you have done most of the pivotal trials relied upon to license many of the vaccines, correct, on the market?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you're highly experienced at conducting clinical trials, correct?
I'm highly experienced conducting clinical trials.
And you're familiar with many of the clinical trials that relied upon to license many of the vaccines currently on the market, correct?
I am.
In your opinion, did the clinical trials relied upon to license the vaccines that Yates received, many of which are still on the market today, were they designed to rule out that the vaccine causes autism?
No. You've badgered me into answering the question the way you want me to, but I think that that's probably the answer.
Is that your accurate and truthful testimony?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, the movie, the music's from a documentary. She just there admitted, and he didn't badger her. He just had her under oath. You designed a lot of these trials. Were they designed to rule out autism? No. Oh, wait. I thought they were. Nope. Not when they're under oath. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like Dr. Catherine Edwards on tall towers of shaking sand with her feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him in...
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling, starting here. Richard Blumenthal said that it's totalitarian to ensure only Americans can vote in American elections.
It's simply a step toward... To totalitarian and authoritarian effort to suppress the vote. And it goes along with his seizing election machines and voting rolls, imposing citizenship tests, a series of actions that are designed to suppress and maybe stop the vote.
Dick Blumenthal, of course, as we've learned, votes in the Senate with his ID. Puts his ID into a box that confirms it's his ID, and then he presses a button. Dick Blumenthal should object to that. That's racist. Next soundbite in today's Tire Babbling, Jasmine Crockett regurgitated a popular hoax about Border Patrol officers on horseback beating Haitians back into the ocean with sticks at the border.
The Haitians showed up at our border. There were these images of officers on horseback that were beating Haitians back into the water. And I was like, no one ever asked the question of why are the Haitians showing up at our border? And I said, if they would have asked that question, they would have found out that their government had been overthrown and that it was gang members that were running their country.
Remember just so many things about this. No, that never happened. They weren't beating anybody. They were directing their horses away from running over the Haitians. Remember this about Jasmine Crockett. She says it's not the job of police to prevent crime. So why would you care that a country's been taken over and gang members are running? It's not the job of police to do that. And she wants cartels to be allowed to operate with the United States because she wants open borders. Last soundbite in today's Tire Babbling. A Democrat mayor of Baltimore named Brandon Scott accused a reporter of being racist after the reporter asked the following very racist question.
His car cost about $78,000 to $80,000 that he drives across the state. Governor Hogan's car cost $70,000 now. Yeah, that was bought when he was state.
That's a long time ago. And I also would... Well, you looked at...
$100,000.
I understand that. I did answer the question. Just because you didn't get the answer that you wanted in your racist slant, that's one thing. But what I will say to you...
See, she's asking that about his taxpayer-funded SUV, which costs $165,000. The governor's car costs a lot less. And it's racist. To talk about money is racist. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I love Venn diagrams. I really just love Venn diagrams.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, yesterday? Sometimes the days wash together a little bit. We got a note from a gentleman who listened to us while he was in prison. Oh, yes. In response to the question about how you were most changed after you came to Jesus. It's come to my knowledge that American Family Radio makes it into prisons. So praise God. And if you are one of the prisoners who's listening, first of all, I think I'm supposed to say inmates, aren't I? And maybe that feels better. I do care about these things. I do want to reflect a temporary status. You're an inmate. Prisoner, it seems to me to be purpose or permanent. Maybe you're permanently there. If so, and these words are reaching you, you're not defined by what you've done in the eyes of Christ. You have an opportunity to be free of prison, even if you never leave those walls, even if you never walk out of those cells or that building. You have an opportunity to be free from what you've done, and it doesn't need to define you in the eyes of Christ. Now, it may still define you in the eyes of the correction officers, maybe in the eyes of some of the people you victimized, depending on what you did, but not in the eyes of Christ, God the Father, the triune Godhead. And so if you have gotten to the point where you're able to hear us, and a lot of guys stream, people I should say, because men and women are imprisoned, a lot of you are streaming this. If so, I am speaking directly to you. And I'm asking you to accept Jesus. Now, see, it's not a mistake that you're hearing this. I have no power whatsoever to draw you to this radio network. Only God has that power. And I'm picturing someone incarcerated listening in headphones. Maybe the old style headphones. Not the earbuds people on the outside have. And I'm picturing you in sort of a library. And maybe there's a Bible in front of you. And maybe you've been studying. And it's not a mistake. It's not accidental. Jesus taught that the Father calls people to himself. Heaven through the Son. So, if this describes you, do this now. And I've never been incarcerated. I mean, I've been in jail twice when I was a young kid for driving things, not paying traffic tickets. But if this describes you, and I don't know what jail culture allows, you can in your mind right now accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you're incarcerated and you're listening to this, just sometimes it's helpful to close your eyes. And picture God who has always existed and always will exist. And yet he loves you. He who had no beginning loves you. So in your mind, close your eyes, picture God, and accept his son Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And do that now. Now, again, I don't know prison culture. And so I would say that you could do this under your breath. I don't know the culture. Maybe you can do it out loud. But speak it. Confess that he's Lord and Savior. And then confess it to people you can trust inside. Friends. That you can trust. That you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ask him to forgive your sins. And if you're feeling sorrowful for what you've done, praise God. Be sorrowful. You've sinned against God. Apologize. Ask forgiveness. And now, with that repentance, no matter how long you're going to be incarcerated, turn the other way, completely away from those sins. Become washed again, washed in Christ, a new being. And know that if you've gone through that process, the Lord no longer sees you and your sins. He sees his son. And if you've done those things, welcome to the body of Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Make as we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations until God grants us permission to speak to each other. May his peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.